In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. You know, it's house blessing season right now. I've been in a lot of your homes, and some of you I have appointments to see. That prayer that we pray over the water when we bless your home, I've been hearing it a lot. Of course, I'm saying it all the time when I'm blessing. And I wanted to share it with you today. You've heard me say it. The first part is, what is the characteristic of Christ? What are we saying about Jesus in this blessing when we bless the water? The first thing we say is, he who deigned to be baptized by John in the River Jordan. So deigned, it's a funny word. We don't hear it a lot, although it's a perfectly good word. It's just kind of archaic. Deigned means Jesus agreed to do it, even though it was beneath him. You know, he stooped down to do it, and he agreed, he assented, he consented to do it, even though it was beneath him. So that's what's happening in the baptism of Jesus. We talked a lot about that a few weeks ago. God coming into our creation, really, and stooping down and submitting to baptism at the hand of John. So he deigned to do that. The second thing we say is, who condescended to enter unto the roof of Zacchaeus, who we heard about in the gospel today. Condescended. It's kind of like the same word as deigned, although we hear it more in our parlance, and it has a really negative connotation usually, you know. Don't be condescending when you speak to me. It means like talking down to somebody or having an attitude where you're above them and you look down on them. So think about that for just a moment, how we don't like condescending, but the prayer says that Jesus condescended. He condescended to enter into Zacchaeus' house because it was beneath him. All of creation is beneath him. Going into the house of anybody, let alone Zacchaeus, would be considered condescending. So these two characteristics of Jesus are very similar, and we have to appreciate them because our whole salvation rests on the fact that God condescends, that he deigns, that he is willing to submit and become what we are in order to lift us up. It's a beautiful concept, and I think we kind of miss it by, in the world, resisting this idea, you know, like somebody's talking down to me, or if we have to be humbled. But in the case of Zacchaeus, you know what happens, and that prayer says it, he condescended to enter unto Zacchaeus' rooftop, thereby bringing him salvation to him and to his entire household, just like we heard in the gospel today. So today is the Sunday of Zacchaeus, and that tells us something. It tells us we're preparing for the Triodion. That's the period that leads up to Great Lent. And the church wants us to hear about Zacchaeus today for that reason, to remind us that God descended, and he condescended, and he deigned, and he was willing to do this. It's a very interesting narrative. The gospel calls Zacchaeus small of stature, and it says he couldn't see who Jesus was because of the crowds. So small of stature, it could mean he's a short man, and we know he climbs up on a tree, but it also could mean he's not valued very highly. You know, maybe he's not highly regarded in the eyes of God, even. And looking at the circumstances around him, you might almost want to argue that and say, here's a guy who's Jewish and is a tax collector. So, you know, tax collectors weren't very well liked. They were collecting taxes from people, and they had a reputation for taking more than they should take and for lining their own pockets. So they got rich off of people. And even if they didn't, they weren't thought of too highly because they were taking great amounts of what the people had and giving it to Rome. So they were resented and not liked very well. So he had that against him. He also, being a Jew, you know, that makes it even worse because he's supposed to be with his people and he's collecting taxes for the Romans. So he has those two strikes against him. And then it says he's small in stature. I had a professor, Father Paul Tarazi, and his theory about sycamore tree, I've never heard before, but he insists, He studied all the languages. He said that word sycamore doesn't even exist. Like, if you look it up in the ancient Greek writings, and it doesn't exist anywhere else in the Septuagint, that's the Old Testament, or any of the New Testament texts. Luke probably made that word up. So it has a meaning for us. What is a sycamore tree? Now we might consider it the tree, but the first part of that word, syke, comes from fig, the word for fig. And then the second part, more, means foolishness or folly. So if you think about the fig tree being a symbol of Israel or the people of God, right? Because remember the parable when Jesus curses the fig tree and it says it should be bearing fruit and it's not. And then no leaves are ever able to come from it again. It withers up and dies. If that's a symbol of the people of God, and this man is Jewish, in other words, Zacchaeus tried to possibly climb on the tree in order to see Jesus, but he also was maybe relying on his own Jewishness. You know, if he's short of stature, if he's not highly regarded, he thought more of himself because he was Jewish. You know, and he was relying on that. So we know throughout the Gospels that that's folly and it's foolishness. Not necessarily for Jews, but that's the example and that's the model, the prototype, but it can apply to any person who puts their faith and their importance and all their energy into something other than God, you know. So there's that aspect. He may have been relying too heavily on his own Jewishness. So he climbs on the tree and he wants to have a look at Jesus. And you notice what happens, right? Jesus sees him. He sees him and he calls him down. So I don't want to make Zacchaeus look too bad today. I think the gospel is trying to paint him a certain way, but then show you even more emphatically what a dramatic conversion this is. This guy has everything going against him, and he takes one peek at Jesus. That means he's interested, you know? He's interested in some way. He wants to see who he is and can't because of the crowds. So he takes a peek, and Jesus sees him, and he calls him down. Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm coming to your house today. Okay? And then Jesus goes, and he visits with him. The great lesson we have in there, beloved in Christ, is that if we have just a little ounce, a little spark of a desire to know God, to know Jesus Christ, he will meet us and he will see that he is revealed to us. You know, he's not going to hold himself back. And despite all the obstacles, he will call us down and come to our very house and dine with us. And that's what Jesus does in the parable. So what happens when they're visiting? Well, we hear that Zacchaeus tells Jesus, basically, I'm sorry if I defrauded anybody, if I kept money that I shouldn't have. You know, if I cheated anybody, I want to give it back fourfold, and I want to restore it and make it right. So he believes that Jesus is the answer, and he repents of his sins, and he does something to make it right. And Jesus, of course, says that this very day when he visited Zacchaeus, salvation came to his household. And he calls him a son of Abraham, a true son of Abraham. Not because he is Jewish by blood, although he is. He's a son of Abraham because he heard the gospel and he followed it. That's exactly the content of the gospel. I'm sorry, God, I don't deserve you, and I will give you everything and do whatever it is in my power to follow you and to serve you properly. So that's what Zacchaeus did. The church holds him up today, and as I said, it gives us this reading so that we can think about it and prepare for the weeks coming up. It's not part of the Lenten Triodion, but next Sunday the Triodion starts, and we're going to hear about the very things that maybe happened to Zacchaeus. Number one, humility, right? We have to humble ourselves. And number two, repentance. We have to turn ourselves around, and we have to turn toward God. So that's what's coming up in the next couple of Sundays. But for today, think about how you feel, how I might feel, if somebody treats us in a condescending manner in the world.
You know, I said before, we don't like it, and it has a negative implication. We might resist it, we might become offended and say, hey, you can't talk to me like that. But think about it. Our whole salvation is resting on and hoping on God doing that to us, right? So it's not so bad if somebody condescends to you. You know, they have really no right to do it, because nobody should do that to anybody except God does it to us out of his graciousness. But if it happens to you, if you're in a situation like that, think of it as a blessing. Think of it as a reminder of what God did for us, right? He stooped down. He deigned. He agreed. He was willing to enter into it. And although it hurts our ego, and that's why we don't like it, we should be grateful that God loves us so much. Because we're kind of like Zacchaeus, honestly. We don't have a lot going for us. We're lacking, all of us, myself number one. We don't have a lot going for us to say, hey, God, I deserve this. He has to stoop down. He has to bend down and visit us in his kindness and his graciousness and his mercy. Then we, like Zacchaeus, can be considered children of Abraham, children of the promise, and salvation will come upon us and upon all of our household. But we have to want Jesus. We have to go looking for him in some degree and then receive him with joy, as Zacchaeus did. That's the key there, receiving him with joy, and then that conversation they must have had about repentance and following the gospel. So I hope that's a good message for you today, beloved in Christ. It prepares us for the weeks coming ahead in Great Lent. I hope today we can think about the greatness of our God and our own lowliness and our own humility, and if we ever encounter it in the world, thank God for it, because it's through that that we're able to be called his children and be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.